The last time I sang that song, I was with Brenda over at the harbor over there singing with the folks. How's everybody doing over there, Brenda?
We're still singing that song.
Good. I'm glad we got people on the inside doing hymns with our folks. So pray for our, you know, the people to be praying for are the ones in the long-term care facilities. That's where the battle is, and those who work with them. And so Peace Villa, the harbor, the haven, and you folks have friends and relatives in these long-term care facilities. That's the front line. That's where we need to pray and support those folks and keep them encouraged. So these past 77 days, I do like to read. I read quite a bit. It's one of the things the Lord did in my life when I really made a commitment to follow Him. I started to read. And that's pretty amazing. You know, I was 18. I should have maybe read before that. But when I was 18 and 17, 18, I was baptized when I was 17. When I was 18, I had this hunger to read. And I took a chance to go to college. I went to a little college in Canada, Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. It took a while to find it and get there, but, you know, there's about 50 students there, and we just studied the Bible all year, and I just read and read and read and read and thought, what's happening to me? You know? Well, maybe it took me an hour to get through one page. You know, I wasn't too quick at the beginning. I remember my first assignment was about Christian education. You know, that's good, Gary. I heard you laugh. But I thought, okay, the book was by Elmer Towns on how to run a Sunday school. I'm 18 years old. I don't want to learn how to run a Sunday school, but I just wanted to read, and I remember I went to the I made a pledge to the Lord that when I got to school, I knew myself. I didn't trust myself. So I said, Lord, if I'm going to spend money and go to school, the first day I get my first assignment, I'm going to go to the library. I thought it was called library at that time. Maybe it still is. I'm going to go to the library with that book, and I'm going to read it. So that's what I did. I took my Elmer Towns How to Run a Sunday School book, and I read it. And everybody thought I was a genius, which is not true. I'm a farm kid from Buffalo, just learning how to read and getting interested in all these things. And that was the time I remember, well, I did get behind in my New Testament class after supper. And I just read, went to church Sunday, finished about 4:30 Sunday afternoon. And I'll remember that as one of the most meaningful times in my whole life. Just like taking a big shower in the Word and the truth of God. You should try it sometime. So during the 77 days, I went through a few days where I really struggled to read and pray even. I had been praying so faithfully for every family. And then I got into a low spot. Did that happen to anybody? And but then I said, you know what? I want to start reading the New Testament again. And I found a purple pencil. And I started underlining every passage about the second coming of Christ. And I've read all of the New Testament except the four Gospels. And I've underlined 103 verses so far. And then I read a book by Eldon Ladd called The Blessed Hope, which helped me to refocus on that event, the second coming. And so I just want to introduce to you in a few minutes today just a little bit of what I read. In the next few weeks, I want to speak to you about the second coming of Christ. Is that okay? Didn't it feel good to sing about that today? I mean, it felt good to sing, but it felt good to think. Where are those balloons, by the way? So they're going to have to come back, Kathy, you know, to finish. Okay. I think they're up by Lake Waconia. I don't know. So, yeah. In the next few weeks, I'm reading, and I just want to share with you. So the title today is, What is the Blessed Hope? That's the one question I want to answer. Just a few verses to introduce this thought and get us thinking. I'm not talking about the rapture today. I've been kind of disappointed that there's so much talk about the rapture, debate about this, and you don't get it, and all that stuff. I want to answer the question, what is the blessed hope? Balloons, leave. That'll be a reminder this day that as we gather this day of Pentecost, that we are refocused on Jesus Christ, His first coming, His second coming, and help me as I begin to share these weeks, to share Your word faithfully and truly as we honor our Savior and Lord Jesus. Amen. Titus 2:11-14, I'm going to be reading in the NIV, says, For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. Here it is. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what's good. So you'll see here in verse 13, we've got the definition of the blessed hope right there. It is the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the plain reading of verse 13. The blessed hope is the personal, literal, visible, glorious return of Jesus, our Savior and our God, to this world. And here we have also one of the clearest statements on the deity of Christ right here. He's our Savior, our God, who's coming back to this world. So the blessed hope is what the angel said, what Kathy read earlier in Acts 1, when the angel said, you know, why are you looking up at the sky? That this Jesus who you saw ascend, He will come back in the same way in which He ascended. That's the blessed hope. So in my study, I noticed in this passage, you have the word appeared twice. And I'm going to try to pronounce these Greek words, and you tell me what they sound like. Epiphania and epiphaino. What's that sound like? Epiphany. So the language of the blessed hope is the epiphany, the appearing of Jesus. An epiphany means something that comes into view that you can't see. Well, we can't see Jesus right now, can we? Well, we can see Him in the life of the church. We know that through the lives of believers. But we don't see Him, do we? So the blessed hope is when we see Him. We lay eyes on Him and we see Him coming. What was hidden, we now see. There's two epiphanies mentioned here. The first one is the epiphany of grace, verse 11. That's Christmas. That's the birth of Jesus. That's when forever we will see Him. And people will see who He is in all His glory. That's the second coming. So I looked at this word, epiphany, and I wanted to see what else the New Testament said about this appearing. So all I'm doing today is just following that word through some more passages. And I saw it again in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Where it describes the epiphany this way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of His mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Ah, there's a new detail here. At the second coming, Jesus is not the only one who will be seen. It says here that the evil one will be seen, the lawless one, who I think is the Antichrist. He will be unmasked. He'll be seen. Evil will be seen for what it is. Right now, it's hard to know what's going on, isn't it? Where is the evil? So things that are happening in our world, they feel so demonic, don't they? They're so demonically inspired. And there's so much corruption. We don't know who to trust. But when Jesus returns, we'll not only see him, but through the fire in his eyes, we'll see all the evil and the corruption as it is. It will be exposed. And what will Jesus do with it? He will end it. It will be gone. He will, with the breath, it's gone. Hallelujah. So I think, oh, that's a blessed hope, isn't it? That evil and lawlessness, a new sheriff will be in town. Lawlessness will end. How does that sound? Well, I was reading that this week when these riots were breaking out, and I thought, oh, I don't think I've ever quite read that verse like this before. So then I saw this word epiphany again. It showed up in 1 Timothy 6:14-15. And Paul says to this pastor, Timothy, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus, there's the word again, epiphany, which God will bring about at his own time. Ah, there's another detail we should pay attention to. It tells us that God will choose the time for the epiphany, the second coming of Christ. Have you ever read anything or heard anything where somebody was predicting the return of Christ? Oh, it's just so wrong. I got something in the mail today or this week. The end is near. So I read through it, skimmed through it. Cold, hard facts, it says at the end. The end is here, April 2033. Who decides when the epiphany, the second coming of Christ? God does. This is not the blessed hype. Too much blessed hype going on. Sometimes scaring people half to death. Can I say that? This is the blessed hope. And God sets the time, the just the right time for his son to return. Well, let's look at another verse that mentions this epiphany. 2 Timothy 4:1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, who will judge the living and the dead in view of his appearing. There it is again. And his kingdom, it says. I give you this charge. He's talking to Timothy there. And the next thing he says is preach. So this verse tells us that Christ will bring judgment on the living and the dead at his epiphany, his second epiphany, his second coming. So that implies a resurrection is going on there because the living, the dead will have to be raised. I think this is the first resurrection. So he'll come at his coming. There will be a judgment time. It also mentions another detail here. It says he's bringing a kingdom with him, which makes me think he must be king. And now I'll give you my view on that. I think the kingdom will be an earthly kingdom. 1,000 years, it doesn't matter if it's 1,000 years or not, but I think it'll be earthly, where he will come back, bring that judgment, and then he will rule and reign on the earth. He'll close out human history. God on earth again, just like human history began with Adam and Eve. And God will win in history. That's also another detail that we can look forward to. God's Son will sit on David's throne. I think that's part of that promise given to David. Now there's one more verse that mentions this epiphany. It's in 2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is in store for me, this is Paul saying, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Ah, so we've got an award ceremony going on that day. What day is it? Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So here's another detail about our blessed hope. When Christ comes, he's bringing rewards with him for all who long for his appearing. And Paul believed there would be a crown of righteousness for him. We will be rewarded for holding on to our hope, this blessed hope, on that day. Well, that's just six passages. You'll see how this day lumps a lot of events together, doesn't it? Just a plain reading lumps these things all together. Let me give my conclusion. The question today was, what is the blessed hope? I don't want to go any further into the weeds than that, okay? About the second coming. What is the blessed hope? That's what I was looking for. Here's the summary. The blessed hope is when we see Jesus personally. The blessed hope is when we see Jesus gloriously. The blessed hope is when we see evil exposed and defeated. The lawless one will be unmasked, judged, wiped out, one translation says. The blessed hope is when we see the righteous rewarded, believers receiving crowns for their enduring in the faith. Think about that hope. To see all that happening. And the blessed hope is when God's rightful king comes to rule God's world. That's Jesus. And the blessed hope is the day we see God win in history and writing God's final chapter of our history in this world. I don't think it's the new heaven and earth yet. I think he will come and rule and reign on the earth and write that final chapter in our history. And finally, that blessed hope is when we see our Savior and something happens to us, our salvation will be forever transformed. Does that sound like blessed hope to anybody? In just a few verses, we can see why we are to wait and long for and eagerly wait for this. For this day, I've got 100 more verses to go. So now next week, I want to share about the blessed hope again and share more about how that affects us personally, how it helps us emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. Help us, the help we need now, the promise of help as we long and think about the return of Christ. Brothers and sisters, look up. He is coming. He is coming soon. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we need to sing before we go, don't you think? Vonda, do you think you got another song in you? Hallelujah. Thank you guys for helping. Let me pray. God, today we've looked at your word, which describes the blessed hope. And I pray we're filled with more hope now than when we came in this morning. I pray the Word of God was a banquet, a feast. It was bread to sustain us and fill us and guide us from this place. And Lord, we've had so much on our mind these 77 days. I pray now as we begin to regather as a church, our minds would be on the blessed hope for us. And may that steady us as we navigate the days and weeks ahead. We love you. We thank you that you are coming. Thank you for the hope that is ahead for us. and the hope we have today, just being out here with the body gathered. Thank you so much for giving us this memory. I think this is a very important day for all of us in the life of this church, and I want to just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.